The name of the Lord is to be praised. There's many reasons why that is, but none more than because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your greatness, for your magnitude, for your sovereignty, and I thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord. Each one of us needs Jesus. God, we need Jesus so bad. Lord, forgive us for what we do and for who we are, Lord. But remind us that we are clean and as white as snow through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And God, I just praise you and I thank you for that. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. This morning, what I actually want to start off with is just kind of actually a little bit of a review. Before I do that, though, he had this little card. We had this card in the bulletin, and you may remember this from last week. And so if you weren't here last week, get out your bulletin and pull out a card. And then if you have like one bulletin for five people, just look around. There's some ushers in the back that have cards. And I want everybody in here to have a card. Now, there's a few people who will be exempt from this, and that's if you've already turned in your card. Okay, so if you already turned in your card, you don't have to have one. But everyone else, if you haven't turned in a card, pull your card out if you were holding on to it throughout the week, or pull a card out of the bulletin if you don't have one or if you need an extra one. Raise your hand right now. Don't feel bad if you don't have one. There's guys right there that have them, okay? A couple people in the back. Make sure you have one, okay? And I want you to take this card before we even start, and I want you to write your name on it. Now, you're not committing to anything yet. Just write your name on it, okay? And if you have an email address, I want you to write your email address on it, okay? Again, not committing to anything yet, okay? Now, the rest of it there at the bottom, you can wait to decide if you want to do anything else with this, but I just want you to hold on to this morning. I want you to hold on to this, and as I go through this sermon, I just want you to have this here with you as we finish our morning together today. And so this card was in there last week, and Mark preached about the importance of God's word. And getting back to the basics, and he gave a challenge. And his challenge came not just from Mark, it came from our deacons, spiritual leaders of our church, it came from our staff, and our leadership here at Bayside, and we have a challenge this year for 2013. And it's multiple things in this challenge, but the main one that we talked about last week was to have every person who comes to Bayside read through the Bible in 2013. And that's what the challenge is, and we've kind of presented that last week as it could be a 90-day challenge where you read through the Bible in 90 days. It takes about an hour a day. It's quite a bit of a commitment. There's also a 180-day challenge. It takes about a half an hour a day, and you'll get done about halfway through the year in July. And there's also the 360-day challenge where we read about 15 minutes a day, and you read through the Bible just about four or five chapters a day, and you get through it in about a year. And so those are kind of the options. They're there on the card, and we'll talk more about that as we go through the morning, but I just wanted you to know that that's kind of where we were at last week. But if you weren't here, I do encourage you to go back and listen to it, because it was a really great message that Pastor Mark gave last week. But this challenge to get back into the Word, and back to the basics here at Bayside, back to the basics. And it started with this verse, and I'm going to read this verse again from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And if you have a Bible, you can pull out your Bible and follow along. If you have a pew Bible in front of you, you can follow along on that. Or we also have it up on the screens for you to follow along. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Back to the basics. And so these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some basic things that we'd like our church to go back to. And when I say our church, I don't just mean members of Bayside. When I say our church, I don't just mean regular attenders of Bayside. When I say our church, I mean every person present in this room right now, whether you've been here once, twice, 100 times over. We want our church to get back to the basics. And the first of those basics is to get back into the Word. We see these basics in this scripture, this text of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be focusing on three of those basics: the Word, prayer, and sharing our faith. And we're going to be talking about those, prayer and sharing our faith, in the next couple of weeks. But those are the three. And today we want to continue with kind of part two of the basics with a twist and getting into God's Word in 2013. The deacons and Pastor Mark and myself have spent considerable time in prayer and discussion about our vision, about the direction we're going as a church, and we feel very strongly about the vision that we have, that two-pronged vision that we've talked about and you've heard about if you've been here in the fall, about making disciples and loving the least of these. And we're praying about how that's going to be implemented here at Bayside every single week as we continue to go through this journey together as a family and as a congregation here at Bayside. And we're really praying and hoping that you'll enter into this kind of three-pronged challenge that we're starting up in the beginning of 2013 of reading God's Word, praying, and sharing our faith. So the first of the basics that Pastor Mark talked about last week is what we're going to focus on again today, and that's reading God's Word. The sword of the Spirit, as it says in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. I want to also draw your attention, like Pastor Mark did last week, to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And I believe, yes, we have it up on the screen. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As Pastor Mark preached last week, he was saying things, and he said things like, I think we all know we should read the Bible. Well, yes, I think we all do know that we should read the Bible. The Bible, God's word, is God's manual, his instruction booklet for us. Have you heard people say that before? This is God's word. We should be reading it. If we put our faith in Christ and we're a believer and we're a Christian and we have any sort of belief that there is a God, we should be reading this. We should be in this word. It is our only offensive weapon in the battle and in the armor of God. It's a two-edged sword. This word of God is a sword. Now, and there's a whole lot of analogies you can do in this. And if you were going to war, would you go to war with no offensive weapon? Absolutely not. When you go to war, you bring all the guns and you bring the missiles and you bring all... Today, war is all so different than it was back in the day. But when we go to spiritual warfare as believers, which we are guaranteed will happen when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, are you going with an offensive weapon? That's a challenging thought, even for me as a pastor. Am I going into my day, every day, with the only offensive weapon that I can be equipped with for this battle? And I can admit to you right now, I don't every day. Now, some of this is in here, but not all of it. Some of it's in my heart. And I read through it, and I spend time in it, but not enough. Are we really considering this our offensive weapon? It's just like in sports, and you knew I was going to do this, right? There was a big game last night. It wasn't the Super Bowl by any means, but up here it sure felt like it. Now, to most Vikings fans, like, oh, there was a game last night? Right? Just kidding. I'm a Vikings fan. Now, And I actually had predicted that they would lose. Don't get mad at me if you're a Vikings fan. I'm a realist. Even if they would have had their quarterback, I really don't think they would have won. Anyway, going into this, they played this big game. But if they would have gone into the game, let's just say Packers, since they won, if they would have gone in the game and they would have said, hey, you know, Rodgers and Cobb and all these other offensive players, we don't need you. We're just going to play with the defense today. Would they ever do that? No, they wouldn't. And even the best defensive team, like the teams that won just because they had a great defense, even they had an offense, and they brought their offense. And it's true in any sport, and I just said it because football, because we had the big game last night, and I had to mention it, because a lot of us probably watching, some of us could care less about it, but if you are playing in sports, you bring your offense. You have to have some type of offense. Are you using the offensive weapon that God has given you for this battle? Because if you're not, you're going to fail. And if you're not, if you haven't, you probably have felt that failure. Have you ever had a struggle in life?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I have too. Have you ever gone through pain or anguish or anxiety or any of those things? Have you ever been hurt? And how are we going to go through life and the struggles of life that we're going to face undoubtedly unless we bring an offensive weapon? The Bible. Mark also talked a lot about motivation last week. He talked about motivation and what really motivates us to sit down and take time to read God's word. And sometimes it's not always the best motivation. And maybe you've been motivated because of these things. He talked about duty or religion or guilt or pride. And I certainly can say that I've read the Bible because of those things. I certainly have, and all of us probably have at one point or another. And those aren't necessarily bad things, but they're not necessarily good things and good reasons why we should be reading the Bible. But today we're going to talk a lot about motivation. And so think about, what is your motivation? And Mark, just briefly, I'm going to go back over kind of his points for what are the things that really should motivate us. And Mark talked about the things that personally for him motivate him to go through the Word and to read through the Word. And when does God's Word come alive for us? And I believe with all my heart, as Mark was preaching this last week, it was like, amen, this is exactly the truth. This is what it is. When we pull out God's word, this is how it can become motivation in our lives. And the first way is that when our reading is spirit-led. And what does spirit-led study look like? Mark talked about it. First of all, it's checking motivation. Why are we reading? Why are we reading? Is it because of duty or religion or guilt or pride? Or is it because we really want to get into God's word? Is it because we know that this is our offense? Is it because we know there is power in the word of God? Why are we reading it? Then it's also a humbly asking God to open up his word to us. Each time when we open it up, to just maybe pray. Have a brief time of sincere, heartfelt prayer prior to reading. God, open up your word to me. And also, it's slowing down enough to actually listen to God when we're reading his word. Sometimes we just go through the checklist and get it done and read through it real fast, and we don't pay attention to what is actually being said in God's word. Sometimes we need to just slow down and actually listen to what God has to say to us in his word. The second thing is the second time that God's word comes alive is when we're desperate. Mark talked about last week, when we're desperate. When life throws the unexpected at us, we need God's word. When anxiety overtakes, we need God's word. When we're in the middle of a trial, we need God's word. When we have and face the difficulties of life, we need God's word. These things make us desperate for God's word. Have you ever been in a pickle? Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to do? You couldn't make a decision. You couldn't figure out what you were supposed to do, and you kept saying to yourself, God, just show me. God, couldn't you just tell us what I should do? I got this decision or this big thing that's going on. Couldn't you just show us? Couldn't you just written a manual for my life that just says this is what I should do? Now, I know the greatest comeback to that is, because that's a cliche. I just did a cliche. I totally did a cliche. And I know the comeback is, well, okay, Tom, but it doesn't say, Tom Bush, on January 12th, 2013, you should do this, or you should take this job, or you should go here, or move here, or do that. It doesn't say that. No, I understand that. But when we read God's word, And when we're in God's word every day, and when we're living God's word, we'll know. We will know. God will make it clear. He will speak to us. Has he spoken to you?
Amen.
That's right. He has spoken to us. When you've been in a trial and you opened up God's word, or when you were in a trial and you remembered God's word because you had a verse deep in your heart, God will use his word. And when we're desperate, it becomes real. The third and final way God's word comes alive is when we're hungry for God's word. Spiritual hunger is choosing God's word over anything. And Pastor Mark talked about how sweet God's word is and comparing that to the many sweet things in life. And we need to choose God's word over all things in life, whether they're sweet or sour, or whether they're good or bad. And unfortunately, every one of us, myself included, over and over and over again, choose to do multitudes of other things before I choose to read God's word. And I'm saying that to you today not to discourage you, but to just tell you that I'm on the same page with you and everyone in this room. I am not exempt because I am a pastor. I have chosen multiple times to watch TV instead of read God's word. I have chosen multiple times to get on the computer instead of reading God's word. I've chosen multiple times to spend time with my kids instead of reading God's word. Sometimes they're good things. And you have to balance out life and do those good things. But how much are we really hungry for God's word? That's a challenging thought. As a pastor of this church, as a pastor, it was a challenging thought. But even as a Christian, as a Christ follower, as somebody who has put their faith and hope in what Christ did, in the passion of Jesus Christ, the man that went to the cross, just 15 minutes ago we were remembering this, the man that went to the cross, body broken, sweating blood, beaten, bleeding for us. But yet I'm going to go and watch TV. God's word. Are we hungry for God's word? My prayer is that today, when you walk out of this room, you will be hungry for God's word like you've never been hungry before. God's word comes to life in my life when I seek the Spirit's leading and help, and in my study when I am desperate because of life's troubles, and when I am truly hungry for the word above other things in my life. That's straight from Mark's sermon last week. Let me read that again. God's word comes to life in my life when I seek the Spirit's leading and help in my study, when I am desperate because of life's troubles, and when I am truly hungry for the word above other things in life. Is that you? Does that describe you? Does that describe you? There's one more quote that I wanted to share from Mark's sermon last week. And that was a quote that he shared and that he had, I think, in his notes. There's nothing more beneficial to long-term spiritual growth than consistent, Spirit-led study of God's word. There is nothing more beneficial to long-term spiritual growth than consistent, Spirit-led study of God's word. Do you want to grow? Do you want to really grow? Do you want to see God's blessings in your life? Because if you do, you need to get in to his word. You know, last week, Pastor Mark was preaching, and I hadn't even started to prepare what I was going to say today when he started preaching, and I knew I needed to hear his sermon because it was in the plans that I was going to preach today, and it was going to be part two of this message. And as he was preaching, I just kept hearing words, and one word and one thing that just kept coming back to me, and that was motivation. Talked a lot about what is our motivation for getting in the Word and what motivates us to get in the Word and what keeps us in the Word. And as he was preaching that, I was just thinking and envisioning, what am I going to say? And as he was preaching the Word and sharing the Scripture, it was like, I mean, he's saying everything that needs to be said right now. And not that he took all the things that you could preach, because we certainly could do a whole series on the importance of God's Word. But as he was doing that, I just kept thinking and coming back to motivation. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was just urging me and speaking to me that I just needed to focus on motivation. And as I thought about that, I really started to think, boy, next week I might need to be less of a pastor and more of a coach. And some of you know this, but I'm a coach. Man, I love to coach. I love sports, first of all. Many of you know that. I love sports, all sports, football and basketball, baseball and hockey. But there's no sport in my life that I love more than soccer. I just love soccer. It's a great sport. And some of you are like, because you're all Americans. Most of you are Americans, I'm sure. You're like, soccer, whatever. But soccer is the most popular sport in the world, mind you. And there's a reason for that. And anyway, I'm not going to go into that. I don't need to go there. But but I am a soccer coach. And I've coached soccer at Superior High School for 6-7 years now. And I love soccer. And I play soccer. And actually, some of you in here have played with me or have I have coached. And so as I was last week listening to Mark's sermon, I just felt like maybe I need to take off my pastor's tie and maybe I need to just pull out my coach's whistle and my clipboard, which I have right here, and get out an easel here and a whiteboard, and maybe we'll just have a little pregame speech. Because you want to know what's going to happen? In about 10 minutes, this service is going to end. And in about 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, when you're done going out and getting coffee and cookies, or maybe you'll just bolt right out the door. Some of you do. That's okay. Whenever you walk out today, whether it's in 15, 20, 30 minutes, the game begins. Real life is going to happen. And maybe it's already happening to you today because you're not feeling well or you've got something in the back of your mind. But you're going to walk out those doors, and so our game begins. And we're a team here at Bayside. And we have leaders. Pastor Mark is our main leader, and I'm one of the leaders, and we have deacons that are leaders. And this morning, I just feel like as a coach, before you, our team, I just need to do something and say something to encourage you, to motivate you, to challenge you, that when you walk out those doors, you will be hungry for God's word. You know, for me, last year, I made a commitment to read through God's word, actually in 90 days. Pastor Mark talked about that last week, and several of us men did that last year. And I made that commitment, and I stayed strong to it, and I read through the Bible in 90 days. It was a great experience. And it was a struggle, and it was hard, and all those things, and one of the best parts about us was we had this email group that we continued to email back and forth to each other to encourage one another. And I want to admit something, I want to confess something to you today. From January 1st through about March 30th, the first 90 days of the year last year, almost every single day I spent about an hour or more in God's Word. And then from April 1st through today, I haven't spent more than an hour in God's Word any of those days. It made me think, what was my motivation? Now, I did spend time in the Word. Don't get me wrong. I did continue to read the Word and spend time in it, but never as much as I did when I was going through that 90 days. And now, I will admit, when you go through the Bible in 90 days, you do need a little time to just have some time where you're not so much into it. But I just feel like I failed after that because I wasn't continuing to use my offensive weapon that God has given me right here, as much as I needed to. And I want you to think about today, what will motivate you to get into the Word? What will motivate you to get into the Word? You might be thinking, why me? Why do I need to read through the Word? I'm not a member of this church, or I'm past a certain age where it doesn't matter, or I'm not old enough, so it doesn't matter. And I'm looking at a few of you that are very young, and a few of you that are very old, but I won't point. Age does not matter. Age does not matter. Every single person in here that can read through God's Word in 2013. And you don't have to be a member. You don't have to be a regular attender. You could have walked in today for the very first time. You might be saying, I can't. There's no way. I just am not a good reader. I don't like to read. I just can't. I can't. Well, then either you don't know or you've forgotten Philippians 4:13, which is in God's Word. And it says, I can do everything, anything through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. I can. So don't tell me you can't read through this year. I was reading a book the other day. I was a dad, wrote a book, and he was talking about his, it's a fathering book, and he was talking about his son, how his teacher had challenged the kids in that class to read through 5,000 pages during the school year. And his son read through 10,000 pages. You want to know how old his son was? Fifth grade. 10,000 pages. That kid was motivated. Well, here in our Bible, there's about 1,000. And I know these pages are a lot deeper and thicker than a fifth grade level reading. But a fifth grader read 10,000 pages in a year, a one school year. You can read through this Bible this year. Don't tell me you can't. You can do this. You might say, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. You're going to have to sacrifice some time. You certainly are. You know what? It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be entertaining. It's not going to be as entertaining as watching TV or getting on your computer or going on Facebook or going to a football game or just going to a party or doing whatever you're going to do this year with your time. It's not maybe not going to be as fun or as entertaining. And certainly, I promise you, and I'm not going to lie, here I'm not going to lie, in this word, there are a few parts that might get a little boring. They might get a little slow. There's a few parts where it talks about genealogies. And you might be thinking to yourself, why? I don't need to read through this, but you do. God's word says the sum of his word is truth. The sum meaning all of it. We can read through this Bible this year. You can read through this Bible this year. You know what? Hard things are never easy anyway. Hard things are never easy anyway. Think about it. Any hard thing you've ever done probably wasn't easy. It was a challenge. It took sacrifice. It took motivation. It took encouragement. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't always fun. But when you accomplished a hard thing, how did you feel? You felt great. When you lost a bunch of weight because you made a challenge to yourself, I need to lose weight, you felt great when you did it. Or when you made a goal for the year, you felt great when you accomplished it. And let me ask you this. If you die on December 31st, 2013, and you get up to the judgment and you stand before God and you say, well, God, I had this goal, or I heard about this goal that they talked about at Bayside, or God maybe says that to you, what about that goal? And you say, well, I watched a lot of TV this year. God's word. You know, last week, Mark talked a lot about the technical things and the tactical things that are in God's word that tell us the importance of God's word. And he did that as kind of the first half of the coaching thing. And we have to do that as a coach. You give the X's and O's as a coach. And you tell the players where they need to go and what they need to do. And Mark did that. And that's all there, and it's in the notes. And you go back and you can listen to sermons. And throughout this entire year, we'll continue to do that every Sunday morning. But the one thing that he left out was the motivation part. Now, he did a little bit of motivating, and that's what I'm here today to do. And I've done this multiple times, but I'm going to write a word down on this board. And when I've been a coach, this word is the one word that changes us from players that can do good things, or things that are expected of them, or normal things, or just the everyday things, to players that can do great things. Because it's not talent. Don't worry, I'm not going to write talent down here. Because not all of us are talented at reading. I'm not going to write that down. There's one word. You may not be able to read it, but it's up on the screens. Passion. Are you passionate about God's word? Just about 30 minutes ago, we talked about passion. We talked about the passion of Jesus Christ. Are you passionate about God's word? And I'm honest with you. I've been a coach for 6-7 years. I've written that word on a board multiple times to my teams to encourage them and to motivate them And I never once talked about God or the Bible or spiritual things, but to encourage them and motivate them to become great. Because you can play a sport, but the best players in sports have passion. And they play with passion, and they win, and they're champions. Are you passionate about God's word? We as a people here at Bayside, whether you're a member, a regular attender, a visitor, or you walked in the doors for the first time today, whether you're in fifth grade or whether you're 85 years old or older or younger, we need to rise up. And today we're going to have all sorts of resources. We have up or in the back, we have 90-day plans, we have the 180-day plans, we have 360-day plans. You can figure out what works best for you. And on this card, we're encouraging you to take this card today and make a commitment. And pick 90 or 180 or 360. And if you do that and you put your name on there, we're going to contact you and keep in touch with you and encourage you. And throughout the year, Pastor Mark and I are going to continue to preach sermons. And we're going to continue to check back in and encourage you to do this year. And there's a big challenge for that 90 and that 180 day. And some of you are going to take that challenge, and that's great. But the majority of you to do this, to be able to read through this year, are going to have to do it over the entire year. And that's fine. And if you're going to do that, just think about this. This is the last thing that I'm going to talk about today. Just think about this. We said it takes about 15 minutes of the day. Can you find 15 minutes? Can you find 15 minutes to read God's word? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can find 15 minutes. And you might be thinking, well, no, I can't. I got a busy life, or I got a lot going on, or life will get busy because of different things. And sure, I could figuratively figure out a time in 15 minutes, but it's just going to be too hard. I want you to think about this. In a day, there's 1,440 minutes in a day. 1,440 minutes. That's a simple math, 60 times 24. Thanks. Think about this. How much of your time are you willing to give to God? All of it. Amen. How much of your time? Now, I understand, though, that some of us sleep. Well, that takes like 20, 25, 30% of our time. 8 hours. If you sleep 8 hours a day, that's one-third of your time. You're sleeping 33% of your time this year is sleeping. And if you work 8 hours a day, that's another 33% of your time. Right? So now we're down to 33%. Let's just say the average person works and sleeps that amount, or you do other things, whatever. So you got 33% of your time for yourself or your family. Maybe you spend 10, 15, 20% with your family, whatever. So you're still going to have 5, 10, maybe 10%. Are you willing to give 10% to the Lord this year? 10% is a nice little figure that we like to use in church. 10%, we give 10th of our offerings to the Lord. You want to know how much 15 minutes is of 1,440? Did you figure it out yet? 1%. 1%. Are you willing in 2013 to give 1% of your time to the God that sent his son to the cross? Broken body, bloodshed for you because you sinned. Are you ready to give 1%? 1%. And some of us say, we can't do that. And I may offend some people today, but we want to know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. Amen. 1%. If you can't give 1% to Jesus Christ in 2013, you don't belong here. And I'm sorry. 1%, that's all we're saying is 1%. And I'm sorry if I've offended. You can come and talk to me. You can send me an email. You can write an anonymous note. And I'm not bothered by it. And maybe I'll get fired because I'm so fired up right now. I don't care. 1%. Can you give 1% to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave 100% of his life, his blood, and his body for you? I want everybody to stand right now. And what I want you to do, we're going to close a little bit differently than we normally do. We're not going to sing a song. What I want you to do is I want you to grab a Bible. If you brought your own Bible today, grab it. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. We got Bibles in the pews. We got Bibles up in this box up here. I want every single person in here to grab a Bible. No excuses. If you got to share with the person next to you, share with the person next to you. There's a box of Bibles. Just come on up. Box of Bibles right here. There's Bibles up in these pews. Everywhere we go, there's Bibles in this room. There's like 200 Bibles in here. Every person in here have a Bible. I want you to hold that Bible in your hand. And it doesn't matter that this may not be the Bible that you read through this year, but I want you to think about this. And maybe this will be your motivation for 2013, when in 2 months you're reading through 1 Chronicles and it starts to get boring and there's a really good TV show on or there's something else that's calling your name. Maybe you remember this one moment. Or maybe you'll just remember that 1% of your time is all it's going to take to read through God's word this year for the man that gave you all of his passion. What is your passion today? Is it God's word? And if it's not, let's make it God's word. Let's take this word and put it in our hearts and put it in our lives and go out there and see what God is going to do for you. I guarantee, this is a guarantee you can take to the bank. I guarantee your life will be changed forever in 2013 if you take this book and you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to put this book into my life. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you don't ever come back into this building again. It doesn't matter if you only come here 3 times this year. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if you give money to our church. None of that matters. What matters is, will you read through this Bible in 2013? And so I'm going to close with a prayer as we hold our Bibles and make a commitment together as a family in this room to read through God's word in 2013. And if you choose to make that commitment with us, today you can take this little card and you can drop it in the boxes on your way out, or you can give it to myself or one of our staff members, and we will email you. Actually, tonight or tomorrow morning, you should have an email if you have your email on here. If you've chosen one of these plans, we'll email you and you'll get that. All the resources are in the back. It's all there. We're going to give you everything. We can do everything we can. We've done everything we can. I've said everything that I could say. The only thing that is left is for you to go and do it. So no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, it's time for us to take our offensive weapon into battle. Because like I said, 15 minutes or how many minutes, maybe it's 30 seconds, you're going to walk out that door and you're going to be hit with the battle. Please bring your sword. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray with all of my heart that every soul in this room will take your word this year and walk out these doors today committed to reading through your word in 2013. However we do it, in whatever way, I pray that we will do that together as a family. God, I pray that it will change our lives. I pray that it will change our church. And God, I pray that we'll be motivated and encouraged, and that as teammates here, we'll encourage one another, and that we'll do this for you, God. And that we'll do this, God, for your glory. Lord, I pray that you will move in a mighty way through us and through your word. And just teach us and show us how amazing and awesome you are. And God, in all these things, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the passion that he had. And I pray that we'll just get a little taste, even just a little taste of that passion in our own lives as we read through your word, God. We make this commitment together as a church here at Bayside Baptist Church today. In Jesus' name, amen.